You know, she told that servant that was taking her up to the man of God, she said, "You saddle this ass and take me there, and slack not thy riding except I bid thee." In other words, in everyday language, full speed ahead. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I just have a feeling every time that little old donkey's hoofs would hit the ground, they were saying, "It is well, it is well, it is well, it is well," all the way to where the man of God was. You know the story. The man of God came with her, raised her son back to life. And I can hear her say, "I told you, devil, it is well." Hallelujah. Let's stand and give him another praise. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, 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 glory. Praise God, praise God. Woo. I think this is the kind of services the devil starts looking for cracks under the doors and beneath the windows to try to get out, because he don't like to be in the presence of the Lord. When Jonah was not right and was in rebellion, he fled from the presence of the Lord. But oh, whenever you want to do right, there is a refreshing. For the Bible said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's why we're having this meeting, so our souls can be refreshed. Does not mean the battle's over. It simply means we're here to get refreshed for a new battle, a new fight. It means we're here to get out of the rocking chair and go to working for Jesus. I'd like to do more than I've ever did for him in this closing hour of time. And I look at this wonderful congregation of people that's gathered here, and every one of us inside this body of clay, you know, this body's just a vehicle that's carrying an eternal soul that'll live on somewhere in eternity. You notice some of your friends have gone, but let's pray for them. Maybe they got a little touch. Let me tell this, and I'll get into the Word of God. I had a sister come to the church that I was pastoring. Her husband was an alcoholic, and during the Bristow camp meeting, the last year that Brother Claude Ely preached that meeting, she talked her husband into coming to Bristow camp. That night, Brother Claude Ely was singing the song, which was new at that time, "He Loves Me More and More." And he could not stop singing it. It was time to preach, but he couldn't quit. He sang until sweat run down his face. He sang until that bald spot he had covered up with his hair slid, the hair slid off. He sang until his trousers were showing perspiration. "He loves me more and more." He kept singing it, maybe close to an hour. He never did preach. The altar service wasn't too much. We went home. The next night, he did preach, and he had a struggle. And then he told some of us, I was on the board at that time, he said, "I guess I sang when I should have preached, and preached when I should have sang." But what he didn't know, this man that came to this service the night he sang, "He loves me more and more." His wife was a good member of my church, but he was an alcoholic. He called his wife from his workplace, which he sold appliances at Montgomery and Ward. He said, "I'm coming home." Called her in the afternoon. She said, "Please don't come home. You know we're behind with the bills. Please stay on the job, because when you're an alcoholic, it's all you can do just to hold on to a job." She said, "Please, please stay on the job." He hung up in a little while. He called her back and said, "I'll be home in a little while. I can't take it anymore." And she thought he was wanting more alcohol. And she said, please stay on the job till quitting time. Just about 3 more hours and you'll be finished. So he agreed that he would. But about an hour later he called her and he said, I'm going crazy. She said, you're going crazy. What makes you say that? He said, I'm losing my mind. He said, right now, just as clear as the other night when I was in Bristol camp meeting, I can still hear that man singing, he loves me more and more. He came home, she called me, and I went to his house, prayed him through. So there's power when we follow the leading of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Well, I'm just sort of waiting for the rest of my folks to get here, and I'm going to preach to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I see so many people out here, and I can see some of us look happy, but behind that smile, I see sorrow. I see problems that you cannot solve yourself. I see some heartache there. It's strange how we can cover up so many things with a smile. But there's a God that looks beyond, and He knows the hearts. I had another message again tonight. I was planning on preaching. May not get to preach the message that I've been wanting to preach ever since I've been here, but I want to preach tonight. Been coming double loaded. You know what double loaded is? Yeah, you got to come double loaded. You never know how the Holy Ghost is going to move and how the Spirit of the Lord's going to deal. So I'm here double loaded tonight. Matthew chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there in your Bibles. I want to thank you for the offering, the hospitality, and all of the great blessings that the people have been to us since we've been here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke's account of this same portion of Scripture is almost the same. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It states there, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We all know that there were 3 temptations that Satan come to Jesus with at this time. I only want to deal with the first one, where Jesus had been in the wilderness 40 days. I used to think, you know, the devil came right at the end of that fast. But the Bible said being tempted 40 days of the devil. Every day Satan came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God. Listen, he was in the wilderness. And I must tell you before I go on that wilderness is not off course for the Christian. We think that it's off course when we're in the wilderness. But the wilderness is not off course for the Christian. And it used to bother me. It says, and he being full of the Holy Ghost was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that's strange, isn't it? But don't be surprised when the Spirit of the Lord leads you into that place of temptation and then shows His mighty hand of deliverance when He brings you out. Jesus had been there 40 days, and Satan comes at what seems to be His weakest moment. For you see, He was in a body of clay, a body of flesh, and now He has a lawful hunger, a normal hunger. And Satan comes and says, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, the devil wanted him to use his spiritual power to satisfy a natural hunger. He wanted him to use his spirituality to satisfy the flesh. We all have that same temptation. If you're a singer or a musician, or God has helped you preach pretty good, the devil will want you to use those God-given talents and abilities to satisfy the ego of the flesh. Oh, yes. Now, Jesus could have turned those stones into bread. Oh, yes. Ever wonder where Jesus got that bread in John 21 when the disciples came to shore and He had bread and fish on the fire? I think He walked along and seen some stones about like loaves of bread and zap, and said, devil, see, I can do it, but I do it when I want to and not when you want me to. Oh, yes, he had the power. But I want to talk to you tonight about going beyond bread. For when Jesus refused to turn the stones into bread, there's a greater principle involved than just His natural appetite. But by His refusal to turn stones into bread, He gave us this statement. Man is not just flesh. Man cannot live on bread alone. Oh no, man does live by bread, but not alone. Oh yes, the tragedy of this generation is that men and women are trying to live on bread alone. If you're just living on bread alone, you're not really living. You're just existing. For you see, you are not just a body with bodily functions and tissue and fingers and bones and hair and face and feet and legs. Oh yes, but you are a spirit and you live in a body. And God made man in His own image. What is God? God is a spirit. Adam was a spirit, but he lived in a body. You cannot just feed the natural man and take care of the spiritual man. Oh yeah, I like beefsteak, but I can't just eat steak and potatoes and hot rolls and gravy and apple pie and say, okay, spiritual man, I've taken care of everything. Oh no, I'm living on bread alone. Something else inside is crying out, feed me. Oh, the spirit feeds from something different than natural food. The spiritual man has to have more than just bread. There are three types of hunger. There is mental hunger, which can only be satisfied with knowledge. There is the hunger that is physical. It can only be satisfied with food and drink, and the desires are gratified of the flesh. And then there is a spiritual hunger that can only be satisfied by the Spirit and the power of Almighty God. I'm getting ready to preach to you, so hold on. That's why so many people go into deep indulgences in sin. They're trying to satisfy this spiritual man with bread alone. They think if they go deep enough in sin, That's why men and women end up in perversion. It's because they've tried everything else, and the spiritual man is not satisfied. And so they keep seeking, keep looking, keep searching for something that will satisfy the spiritual man. But the truth is, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, for they are spiritually discerned. We've got to go beyond these five senses. We have the five senses: touch, taste, hearing, seeing, and smelling. But God does not live in your five senses. Somebody said, man, I touched God. Did you really? How can you touch God when no man can approach to His holiness? You say, well, I really, really, really did hear God. The only way you're going to hear God is let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You cannot see God. You cannot smell God. Someone said, man, I really felt God. I had goosebumps going up and down my spine. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If your spirit did not contact the Spirit of God, all you got was another piece of bread out of the service, and you was not feeding the spiritual man. Oh, I love that singing, sister. I believe in shouting. Oh, you think this was something. You wait till we get to heaven. It always bothers me when people are so cold in the church toward a spiritual move, but they can get out of the ball game or go hear some entertainer and they just go wild. Don't you know, 1,000 years from now, it'll not matter who was number one football player or number one basketball player, but it will matter whether your spirit makes contact with God, who is a spirit. To go to a higher dimension, it's more than just our emotions. Sometimes God incorporates our emotions in His spirit. And we go like Gideon. Gideon went and God said, you can go and let them know that I've incorporated with you. Say, it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And sometimes God incorporates our feelings. And sometimes I shout. And sometimes I run. And sometimes I jump. But oh, if I'm not a better man, if my spiritual man has not been fed, if I have not been edified in my spirit, if all I've done is run and jump, that's what they do at the ball games, I must contact Jesus, because man cannot live by bread alone. Hey, old man, you're beginning to preach here. Come on. Don't settle for a quick fix. You hear me? Here's one of our problems in the Holiness Church. And I really love shouting and running. I almost took off after one of them young men, and the lady was ahead of me. I thought, they'd have to run over this old man. I better not take off running. They'd have to pile right into me. But I believe in that. I believe in it. I've been around it all my life. I know it's good and wonderful, but we cannot let that be an end within itself. If we do, it's only bread alone. But we must receive something for this inward man. We must receive something that will give us a greater desire to live holy and separated. We must receive something that the world can see that we have been in the presence of God. These five senses were designed to contact matter. But God is not matter. He is a spirit. Oh yes. So we must go beyond the five senses. If you're living on bread alone, you may have a smile on your face and pretend to be ever so happy, but you're just a walking zombie being controlled by the flesh and evil desires. You may have on a good long dress and have long hair, and you may put on the part of holiness, but underneath that thin veneer of holiness, there will be a boiling pot of lust and evil desires until your spiritual man makes contact with the Holy Spirit of God. Am I preaching right? Hallelujah. We've got to go beyond bread. In Luke the 12th chapter, we have the parable of the rich farmer. Oh yes, this man was a success. He was a successful farmer. His grounds brought forth plentifully. He brought forth so much that he had no place to bestow all of his goods, no place to put it. And so he said, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. Smart businessman. It's all right to have a place to store your goods. But wait a minute. He said, then I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. When did the soul start feeding off of those things you can lay up in barns? When did your soul start feeding off of your CDs and your annuities and your pension plan? When did your soul start feeding off of materialistic things? Your soul cannot survive on those things. Say, I really got the victory tonight. I made a big deposit. Oh, no. No, no, no. He said, soul, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. About that time, God steps in and interrupts. I don't guess God read Dale Carnegie's book on how to meet new friends and impress others. He just stepped in and said, you're a fool. Why was he a fool? Because he was a bad farmer? No. He was not a fool because he was a successful farmer. He was a fool because he was trying to feed the soul off of the things of the natural. Hear the old-fashioned preacher tonight as I preach to you. I will say to you tonight, if you want to live forever in the spiritual realm, you must live now in the spiritual realm. Oh, if you want to live later, you must live now. And when you go out and you fill your life with all the things the world seeks after, and all the things that appeal to the flesh, oh yes, and whenever you've got all of the toys, and you know, some of the women, they think they've really got the victory. They come to church and they say, see this red dress? I've been looking for one like this for a long time. I found this thing, got so cheap. You won't believe how cheap I got that in these shoes. And they start talking about how, well, and you think they really had the victory. No, you just got your piece of bread. Hear me? All of us men were about as bad. Let me tell you, after you get your cars and your over and unders and your 30-06s, after you pile your little three-wheelers and four-wheelers up so high that you can't look out, and you get all dressed up in your camouflage breeches and your camouflage shirt and put on your bright, shiny vest, hey, if you have not fed the spiritual man, there's something still inside crying out, feed me, I cannot be satisfied with all these toys, I've got to have something spiritual. People commit suicide because they're trying to live on bread alone. That's why we've got to have spiritual services. Woo! You say, well, boy, I really felt good. Hey, you don't get the Holy Ghost just because you feel good or had goosebumps. You receive the Holy Ghost when your spirit contacts God's Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. That's when you get the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. The Bible said, take no thought for your life. Luke 22, what ye shall eat or what ye shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You must feed from the Word of God. And that is the only way you can glorify God in your body and in your spirit, is to feed from spiritual things. There must be a continual flow, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, E-T-H, a continual flow of the Word of God must be going in and out of our souls. We must pray, give us this day our daily bread. You ladies are doing good making those biscuits. And I've been wondering, since we not having day service tomorrow, there's going to be breakfast down there. But we cannot live off of your biscuits. Woo! I love them. I was just going to eat two this morning. They brought out a big pan of hot ones, and I got number three. They're good, but when I get through eating hot biscuits and eggs and fried potatoes and all the wonderful tomatoes that Brother Collins has raised, then something inside of me says, you're just living on bread. You've got to go and get something for the soul. You've got to have more than just bread. Woo! Well, I'm beginning to feel like preaching. I've seen young people, they think if they dance enough and if they get involved enough, and they're under much peer pressure by others who are already involved in sin and free sex and all of these things, they think they will get themselves satisfied. But after you've had all the girlfriends and boyfriends, and you're sick of girlfriends and boyfriends, after you've drank all the beer, went to all the movies, and been to all the places of the world you can go to, young people, there'll still be a vacancy, a void that can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Sometimes people, some of you preachers and some of these men, they'll leave a wife that stood by them 30, 40 years, go chasing after some old flapper. Well, Solomon's already told us that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1,000 women. You think you're a ladies' man? This guy had 1,000 of them. Take him almost 3 years to get around each one of them, just staying one night with each one. Hey, Solomon, what do you have to say to this crowd tonight? It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. What is the sum and total of it all, Solomon? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. Woo! Listen, the reason ministers fall, they forgot to get bread. The multitudes that was following Jesus, they were lots of them when He was handing out loaves and fishes for the natural man. But then, my brother, Jesus wanted to take them to another dimension. And He said to that crowd, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And they were satisfied with loaves and fishes. But here this man says, you've got to go farther. You've got to partake of me, of my holiness, of my purity, of my righteousness. And many of them said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And they went back, because they did not want to go to another dimension. They wanted to live on bread alone. And we've got people right in the church, as long as you're handing out big homecoming dinners and a few little specialties, they'll be there. But when you get ready to take them into the realm of sanctification and dedication and holiness, when you tell them they cannot live down there at the ball game, the Cincinnati Reds cannot feed the spiritual man, when you begin to tell them they've got to break away from King's Island and the other places of the world and come into the presence of the Lord, they'll go back. Well, kind of quiet right there. I can see when all of them was leaving, and the disciple says, hey, the church you came to win and died for, they're leaving you. They're walking away. And Jesus just stands there and lets them walk away. And they say, but you said that foxes have holes and birds have their nest, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. If you could just keep all of them, you could get you a place to lay your head, and you could get you a place to call home. And Jesus says, I had a standard before I ever found them, and when they all walk away, my standard will still be the same. Unless you become what I am, lest you crucify the flesh, lest you take that old man out to the cross and hang him up and crucify him. Oh, and you become a new man, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen, in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, David came as he was fleeing from Saul into the tabernacle. And there was Ahimelech, the high priest there. And David said, give me 5 loaves, some bread that's under your hand. And the priest looked at him and he said, there is no common bread. All of this bread is hallowed bread. I'm waiting for the day when the Holiness Church gets rid of all their common bread, and all we have is hallowed bread to hand out to those hungry souls that come searching. Listen, we are supposed to come to God's house, oh yes, and partake of the body of Christ. Oh yes, we're supposed to come and lift up His name. Oh, we're supposed to come and partake of the hallowed bread. But a good percentage of this congregation here tonight wants to be entertained. But I am not an entertainer. If you want to be entertained, you'll have to find you a different preacher. I came here as a messenger of God to tell you man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And your soul will starve on entertainment. People get televisions because they want entertainment. Huh? Oh yes. They rent their videos, their VCRs, their videos, because they're looking for entertainment. They go to these gospel singing so-called because they're looking for entertainment. Come on, preacher man, preach. Hallelujah. I said they're looking for entertainment. But after the goosebumps have settled down, and after them good gospel singers reach all them high notes, and that bass singer reach all of those low notes, and after that man that was tickling the ivories and those guitar players quit playing and you went back home, you were still just as empty as you was when you went there. But if you can get in a service like tonight and hear these choirs sing and hear little girls like this one right here, boy, I noticed a high voice up there. Anybody else beside me notice notice a high voice, boy, just coming out, ringing out. Get in those presence of those that love the Lord. Amen. Your soul gets fed when you hear the word of God preached in its entirety. When a man of God looks you right in the eye and tells you you've got to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and you obey, your soul is fed. Don't entertain me. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. Thank God for the talents that we possess in the Holiness Church. But those talents must be dedicated on the altar of God. For a gift, what did he say about the altar? A gift is sanctified by the altar. And the gift is no greater than the altar that sanctifieth it. I don't care how great your gift is, if you have not brought it to the altar of sanctification. Now, down in Latin America, where I work, and Sister Rebecca's working with me now, and Sister Rich, down there where we work in Latin America, they're the world's worst, wanting you to dedicate things. I've dedicated churches. I've dedicated guitars. They've even brought tambourines to me and wanted me to dedicate them. But I found out you can dedicate the church, you can dedicate the guitar, you can dedicate the piano, and you can dedicate the tambourines, but they're still not dedicated unless the one that has them in their hand has been living off of something besides bread alone. We don't need to dedicate the tambourines nor the guitars. We need dedicated men and women who have died out to sin and serving God in the beauty of holiness. Just about finished. Oh God. Man, I love all of God's people. I see a tragedy even among us holiness people. We listen to great preaching like we heard today from Brother Randy Webb. We soon pass it off and say, well, I wonder if he can beat that next time. And we just pass it off, when all the time our souls are supposed to feed from that. Now, a football fan at a game, he feels the same emotions if he raises his hand. Same thing we do here. Raise our hand. But when the game is over and he goes back home and all the cheering has died out, his soul is still just as filthy. It's still just as empty. He's just as drunk as he was when the game was going on. But oh, if we can get into the presence of the Lord and get something spiritual. I said something spiritual. Oh, hallelujah. Some time ago, I was invited to preach a camp meeting. Some of you heard me tell it, and the reason I was invited to preach this camp meeting, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but I thank God I don't have to look for no place to preach. God's just opened up so many doors that I just have to select and pray and see if I can find where I need to go. Sister Rich will tell you, when we get home, back home, there'll be no telling how many messages, people inviting us to come to preach. And I give all that glory and praise to God. But I was down in my living room praying, and you think God's not listening? I said, Lord, I thank you for opening up all these doors for me. Thank you, Lord. And now, since you've been so good to open up all these doors and give me places to preach, if you'll open up some doors in these big charismatic churches, I'll go and preach holiness. I didn't know God was listening. A few days, the phone rang. Man said, Brother Rich, a state long ways from me, said, Brother Rich, someone gave us one of your tapes and our board just finished listening to it. I was preaching on the subject, At Your Wit's End. They said, we really love that sermon. We're wondering if you'd come and preach our camp meeting. Oh, well, where's it at? They told me, and I'd never heard of it before. What's the name of your group? They told me. Look out when they start talking about true worship and the dove. And we believe in the dove, but look out. Be careful. And finally the man said, now I went to school out there in Oklahoma where you're from. Said, I'm a graduate from Brother Kenneth Hagin's Bible College there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I happen to know a little bit about that college. And it's very liberal, to say the least. And so I said, well, I'll have to call you back later. Let me take your phone number. Took his phone number, and I said, I'll have to pray about this, and I'll get back with you. I took down the phone number. No sooner hung up the phone than God spoke to me and said, you told me if I would open the door for you in one of those big charismatic camp meetings, you'd go and preach holiness. Now, are you going to go or not go? I got around the phone, called him back. He probably thought that was the shortest prayer anybody ever prayed about a camp meeting. Called him back. I said, when is the camp meeting? I'll be there. Well, usually, Sister Rich and I are prepared for anything we see. But I must admit, I was not prepared. When the song leader has on shorts. Oh, you see a lot of beads and necklaces and earrings, a lot of places, but song leader had on all of that, short hair, and had on shorts. Now, you talk about talent. Brother, we got some great talent here, but we can't hold a light to them people. They had talent. They had singing groups that would just curl up your toes. They could sing so good. So, Lord, I know where I can preach this week. If you just let me off the hook, I'll call one brother not too far from here, and I'm sure he'll use me this week. And I can just tell them, and God's changed my plans. And God said, you told me that you would come and preach holiness. And then the pastor's wives came to the day services in shorts and halters. Now, you guys think you're holiness? You think you're bold and brave? Get in one of those kind of places. So finally they turned the service to me. I got up and I preached for a while, you know, and just preaching away. Then after a while I started letting the hammer down, just a little, not too much. Let it down. Then I went down to the concession, and the cooks and the women working there was wearing shorts. Richie, ask her. I said, now God, I'd sure love to get out of this. One night's enough of this. God said, you told me you would. Must tell you, I had a sleepless night that night. I think I was eating bread most of the night, trying to get this flesh delivered. Next night, I preached holiness. And things got tight. Real tight. But I was still making it pretty good, trying to do as well as I could. And the next night, they rolled in a lot of buses from other churches and a lot of different races, and people come in. And the song leader was back in another pair of shorts with big red earbobs on. And this other man came up. I was going to help her lead song service. And you know, I was trying to do my best to get in, feeling so much better ever since I laid my burdens down. You know, I was just doing the best I could to try to get in, feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down. And then this man said, feeling just like dancing since I laid my burdens down. He took two-tone shoes, and you talk about dancing. Man, he could do it. I mean, he was a good black brother, but he could do it. Had on them two-tone white shoes and black shoes, and you talk about stepping them off. I mean, he's stepping them off. I'm still with him, trying to get in there, because I knew I had to preach in a little while. But I quit him when he said, I'm feeling just like hugging since I laid my burdens down. And he went over to that song leader, put his arms around her, and they began to dance across the platform this way, dance across the platform that way. Then he instructed all the congregation to get them a partner and dance while they sang. And boy, I was afraid up till then. All of a sudden, something moved inside of me. I said, God, let me, turn me loose. I'm ready to preach. The Lord said, just settle down. You'll get your turn here in just a little while. Just settle down. Just, I said, Lord, I'm ready to go. And here they are dancing. Come here, Sister Rich. Amen. Here's Sister Rich and I.